Let's get started.
Just press play.
What is this show?
I don't know.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
I mean, is it left or is it right?
I'm independent.
Are you crazy or just plain stupid?
I'm independent.
Happy Friday to all 11 of you. We're going to get the Friday list going here in just a second. The list this Friday is best animal antagonist, best animal villain, best animal hole. Okay, wait, that would be bad because there's going to be some weirdos going like, well, my cat has... No, not what... I mean, they're a jerk. The animal has to be a jerk. Now, the way we do this is we get 16 and we vote on which one is the best. For some reason, this week, we usually keep the list pretty broad, but for some reason this week, we really debated it and honed it and narrowed it down to what could go on the list. And we've had a ton of suggestions already for Scar from The Lion King and Radigan from The Great Mouse Detective. But for some reason, Rebecca and Rod both agreed, and I will insist that I did not go along with this, that the animals cannot talk.
They cannot talk. It just confuses everything.
And no aliens.
No aliens.
And no aliens, which I also vehemently disagree with, but that's fine.
Again, confuses everything.
I think it's confused. Whatever. Who cares? It doesn't matter. So again, we get 16 and then we vote on which one is the best. Let me kick it off with... Damn it. Rod and I were talking during the break, and he took the one that I was going to lead off with.
That's why I told you what I was leading off with.
I'm glad you did.
I was excited about it.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to lead off with this one from a movie you probably wouldn't suspect, but it was a terrifying villain of a creature.
The Legend of the Beast goes back a long time. For any of us could even pick up a baseball. Back to a place called Myrtle's Acres.
It all started about 20 years ago when thieves kept stealing junk from Myrtle's Acres junkyard. So Mr. Myrtle, the guy that used to own the place, got him this new pup from the dog pound. He fed him whole sides of beef. He turned the pup loose in the junkyard. And the pup was grateful. And so, in a few weeks, the pup grew into the beast. And he grew big. And he grew mean. So they could protect the junkyard with only one thing on his mind. To kill everyone that broke in. And he did.
All right, that's the beast from The Sandlot. I'm just going to skip to the end of that little clip where the guy says that he has to keep the beast locked up. For how long?
How long he had to keep the beast chained up like a slave? He said until forever. Forever. Forever.
All right, the beast from The Sandlot.
Was it Samson?
Was that its actual name?
Was it Samson or Hercules or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was Hercules. Hercules sounds right. Text line, tell us if we're wrong on that. Hercules or Samson. But it was, it's definitely Greek or ancient mythological character, I guess. By the way, I forgot to mention this. Rebecca will be playing on behalf of the audience, and the way that works is text in your suggestions to the text line at 22980, and every 100th text that we get from the text line will be Rebecca's pick for this round. So text them in right now, 22980. Again, it's best animal antagonist / villain from a movie. Rod Babcock, you get pick number two, my friend.
There he is. Where? There.
Behind the rabbit.
What, behind the rabbit? It is the rabbit. You silly sod.
What?
You got us all worked up. Well, that's no ordinary rabbit. Oh. That's the most foul, cruel, and bad-tempered rodent you ever set eyes on.
You! I saw my arm and I was so scared.
Look, that rabbit's got a vicious streak a mile wide. He's a killer.
Get stuck.
He'll do you a treat, mate.
Oh, yeah? Manky Scots git.
I'm warning you.
What's he do? Nibble your bum?
He's got huge, sharp... He can leap about... Look at the bones!
Look at the bones!
Oh, Tim.
That used to be my favorite line.
Yeah.
Somebody would talk about, like, some girl or something, and we go, really? That's who you want to go out with? Look at the bones, man!
That is, honestly, one of my favorite characters ever is Tim in Monty Python.
And the name!
Yeah, because he has two great bits. The rabbit bit, and then when they go up to meet him, he goes, there are some who call me... Tim?
Well, you know the story.
Because John Cleese forgot the name he was supposed to say. It was some long, ridiculous name.
Yeah, it's Monty Python. So when they were writing this, they wrote this ridiculous, like, I don't know, Winker Schnickel Flimbottom kind of name.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And then in the middle of shooting, he goes blank. And he's like, there are those who call me...
Tim?
Tim? and nobody missed a beat. Nobody stopped and went, Tim, what the hell?
Yeah, that's not your line, John.
They just went, oh, wise Tim.
All right, Rebecca, you have pick number three.
Yes, and this very first pick is actually going to be my pick.
Okay.
The only Look one out. That will be mine.
Fine.
And I think this is actually Ron's greatest fear.
What are the three terrors of the fire squad?
Ah!
One, the flame spurt. No problem. There's a popping sound preceding each. We can avoid that. Two, the lightning sand. Which you were clever enough to discover what that looks like. So in the future, we can avoid that, too.
Wesley, what about the ROUSs?
Rodents of unusual size? I don't think they exist.
Yep, they exist.
When he, like, bites him and tears... Oh, it's so bad.
Rips at his arm.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are real, you know.
Rodents of unusual sizes, R-O-U-S-S's, goes on the list from The Princess Bride, which, you know what's funny? I saw The Princess Bride when I was like 7 years old, and I hated it.
Really?
I thought
so you literally were Fred Savage.
I literally was. Yeah, I was like, this is some girly movie.
Stupid I'm not watching kissy movie.
The Princess Bride? And then I watched it like 10 years later, and I was like, this is the greatest movie ever. What the hell is wrong with me? And I... probably have watched that movie more than I've watched any other movie in my life. Like, that is my, if I'm just kind of feeling depressed, if
well,
I just
I will
need
tell you,
a quick cheer me up, I watch The Princess Bride because every second of that film hits home for me.
I hope to someday speak about something with the kind of passion that Mandy Patinkin has when he speaks of that movie.
Yeah.
Like, he talks really? About that movie like it is... You know, just this amazing, you know, which it is. I love the movie, but yeah, it's so funny to hear him talk about it. You're like, you know, it's Princess Bride, right? It's kind of silly. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a great movie. It's kind of silly. But he's like, we knew we were part of something great.
Well, he was. And honestly, he should have been nominated for an Oscar. I don't know if he was. I doubt it. Just for his role. No man watches that, no matter what your feelings are towards your father. No man watches that scene where he takes on the guy with the six fingers, the six-fingered man, and doesn't goose pimple up a little bit. I want my father back. So great. All right, that goes on the list. The ROUSSs from The Princess Bride.
The Jonathan Lear Show.
It's on the list at number 3 out of 16. What else needs to be on this list? You tell us right now at 22980. Text in your suggestions for the list. The list this week, best animal antagonists, best animal villains. What would be a crime for us to miss? You tell us again. 22980. Jonathan Weir Show. We'll be back in just a few minutes here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
Wow, 25 years today. When we found out that Kurt Cobain had taken his life. I remember I know everybody's doing this today. I don't care. I remember where I was. I was in the car on the way home with my mom, and we're listening to The Point, which was the alternative station and still is the alternative station in St. Louis. And I'm not going to say his name on air, but I will never forgive the DJ who announced it, just like I will always associate. And I met him later, and I just like I always associate that with you. And just like
yeah,
Kurt Loder.
He didn't kill the guy.
Right, I know. But it's Kurt Loder. I think half the people, when they see Kurt Loder, are like, oh, yeah, you're the guy that told me that Kurt killed
every time they hear Peace Sells by Megadeth, yep. They're like, what happened now?
Yeah, what? But I refused to believe it. I was like, it's April 4th. I was like telling my mom, I was like, it's April 4th. So it's just an April Fool's Day prank. And she was like, maybe. And I got home, ran inside, turned on MTV. And
Oh. Yeah.
It sucked. It did. Anyway, we are doing our Friday list. The list is best animal antagonists, best animal villains. Get your suggestions to the text line right now at 22980. We're on pick number 4 of 16, which is mine. And I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with these guys right here.
Take your army to the haunted forest and bring me that girl and her dog. Do what you like with the others, but I want her alive and unharmed. They'll give you no trouble, I promise you that. I've sent a little insect on ahead to take the fight out of them. Take special care of those ruby sippers. I want those most of all. Now fly! Fly!
If you don't know who she's yelling at, then I don't think you've seen The Wizard of Oz. It's the flying monkeys.
The winged evil that is.
I was straight up terrified of those things when I was a kid.
Now I'm getting shivers just listening to it.
I can see it on your face.
Did you notice when I was playing that clip, I was not looking at the screen?
Yes, I did.
There was a reason. There was a reason. The witch frightened me a lot less than those monkeys did, let me tell you. Because I guess the witch can fly, but she needs a broomstick to... The monkeys inherently can fly, and how did she get flying monkeys? And how do you make sure that doesn't happen in real life, I guess is my question. Please don't use CRISPR to make flying monkeys.
How do you know it hasn't already happened?
Okay, stop talking. That's not okay.
You know, down in Texas, they've got those flying copper-headed rattle moccasins.
Yeah. Flying snakes bother me a lot less than flying monkeys, because a snake can't grab you. It can bite you.
I don't know.
So can a monkey, but a monkey can grab you and bite you.
Them flying copper-headed rattle moccasins are terrifying.
By the way, technically, they're not flying monkeys. I think they're supposed to be chimpanzees, so they're more like flying apes, which is even more terrifying.
They have thumbs.
They can use tools. All right, that's number 4 of 16. Flying monkeys from The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
By the way, do you know where those monkeys came from?
Someone's butt?
Wayne's butt, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. That's what I thought. I love the maturity level we managed to maintain. So the point is, my next pick is... my first pick was the killer rabbit of... How do you say that?
Kyle Badorn.
Carbancock.
Right. Rod Babcock, yes.
That's it. So the point is, the bear attack... From Reverence,
mm-hmm.
Not a silly pick at all.
No,
this
actually
is terrifying.
Yeah, and it is scary. And I love grizzly bears.
Listen to that.
Oh, this was horrible.
By the way, stop playing for a second. Remember when the... When the movie, before it came out, people were like, oh yeah, the bear rapes him.
Yeah.
Based on that audio, it did sound like the bear was a little into
no,
it.
No, that...
It was...
That is not an inaccurate
I'm
description.
I'm just saying, the bear... That's not... No, okay, stop. It's terrifying me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dude, I watched that movie, and everybody kept saying, it's so good, man. You gotta watch it. It's so good. Because at first, it was one of those things where, like, they just gave him an Oscar because everybody said he needs one, blah, blah. And I watched the movie, like, nope, he earned it. And my stomach was upset for the rest of the night after watching that movie.
Here's the thing.
Like, I'm not joking. I was in knots, man. Like, you talk about, you know, people say, you know, he sat on the edge of your seat. I was literally sitting on the edge of my seat and just stomach in knots. Like, oh, for the rest of the night, I'm like, oh, I don't feel good.
Personally, I
never watched it.
I also love that movie. It's a divider of people because some people thought it was boring. I thought it was a great movie, and I loved the cinematography of it.
Yeah.
And I thought Leonardo DiCaprio was great in it. He deserved an Oscar.
Hardy was terrifying in it.
He deserved an Oscar way before that movie, though. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He should have got one for Gangs of New York.
Titanic.
Or Catch Me If You Can.
Do you know how I feel? Gangs of New York is one of my all-time favorite movies.
He should have got it for Gangs of New York. He also should have gotten it for Wolf of Wall Street, but whatever. He got it for Revenant. That's fine. I'm just glad he got it. You notice how since he got his Oscar, he's kind of like...
I'm out.
Yeah, he's going to be in the Quentin Tarantino movie that's coming out this summer. But for the most part, yeah, he's like, dah, I'm done.
That's one of those things, though. If Quentin Tarantino calls you up and says, hey, man, I'm making a movie. Yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah, fine.
Just tell me when
Robbie
to
in it.
Be there.
Yeah, yeah. He could call dead people. We could get people back to come back to life. Beloved
they would for
actors
him.
And celebrities would probably come back to life if we just had... Yeah. Quentin Tarantino, call and Kurt and say you want to play some Nirvana songs on your next soundtrack. There we go. That's how we get back.
He's going
to
come back.
That's how we get back. Jonathan Weir Show.
Tarantino's probably the only person whose head's bigger than yours.
DiCaprio's head's bigger.
That's true.
Yeah. We get back. It is Rebecca's pick. You want to tease your pick at all?
It's the cutest killer puppy you've ever seen.
Okie dokie. I think that clues you in as what... It is, but maybe we're all wrong. Rebecca's pick is coming up, and that is number 6 of 16. As we continue our list of the best animal antagonists / villains of all time, who belongs on this list? You tell us, 22980. It's the Jonathan Weir Show. We'll be back in a few minutes here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
Jonathan Weir Show here on KMBZ. Doing our Friday list. The list this week is best animal antagonist, best animal villains, best animal. And by the way, it's from movies. I don't think we clarified that enough.
No,
because I've seen plenty of suggestions.
Non-sentient beings from the animal kingdom.
Has to be from a movie.
All life has three categories: animal, vegetable, and mineral. I had to argue today whether or not a tomato was an animal.
Oh, because of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes?
Because of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
That's not
even
an animal.
If they're killer and from outer space, they are not
an animal.
They're
still a plant.
It's three categories.
A Venus flytrap is carnivorous. There are carnivorous plants. It doesn't make it an animal.
Animal, vegetable, and mineral.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I say carnivorous funny.
Well,
I can't say it right.
You're a strange fellow.
Anyway, so far we have the Beast, i.e. Hercules from The Sandlot, the Rabbit from Monty Python, rodents of unusual sizes from The Princess Bride, the flying monkeys from Wizard of Oz, the bear from The Revenant, and now Rebecca Crockett has pick number 6 of 16, and what is it? Oh, I know.
Nothing that lives in the imagination is more frightening. Terror that lives in Castle Rock, Maine.
All right.
Everything happened in Castle Rock.
Well, it was in Derry.
Cujo?
Cujo?
Please get us in here.
Good pick.
This created my fear of the dogs down the street from me. Like, I had drills in case those dogs came for me. I was going on top of the swing set.
Yeah, the dog was bit by a bat. Okay, I'll be honest with you. I know that trailer. I know that movie. I've never seen Cujo.
Really?
Yeah. What is so scary about Cujo?
Well, he's cute and fluffy.
It's just a dog.
The idea in the movie is, it's a dog that is basically like Elvis, that is out playing.
And then one day just snaps.
Gets bit on the nose by a bat.
And then immediately gets rabies.
And pretty quick goes to cuckoo angry.
Psycho
and he's
dog.
A big, heavy, you know, dog.
Right. It's a St. Bernard. Yeah.
And because it's unsuspecting, it's It was scary as a kid. It probably wouldn't be as much now. I never read the book. Had a buddy of mine that read the book, and he came to me and he goes, "Did you know in the book Cujo talks?"
Yeah, it's from Cujo's point of view.
Yeah, you actually get from inside Cujo, and he doesn't understand why people are afraid of him.
So this is definitely not going to go on the list, and is not my next pick. But since we're talking about dogs talking, there's this insane movie from the 80s. It's a French film, and it's called Baxter, okay? That might not be the best setup. As soon as I say a French film, you think, oh, it's hoity-toity. It's not. It's about this dog.
Either that or there's butter.
The whole movie is from the point of view of the dog. The dog does the narration. He starts off living with this old lady, and he hates her because she's weak. And so he decides to kill her. But he doesn't like rip out her throat. He just trips her and she falls and dies. And then the couple across the street who he liked to watch, making love, he had them adopt him, and then they have a baby and he's like, oh, I got to kill the baby. He doesn't kill the baby, but he tries to. And then this little boy adopts him, and this little boy is obsessed with Hitler.
What the hell kind of movie
right,
is this?
It was horrifying. It's called Baxter.
That's the French for you,
it's,
dude.
It's actually a very good movie, but it's freaking weird. And then it just becomes like this.
Does the dog smoke cigarettes?
He might as well.
French.
Yeah, it's French. It's French. Baxter's not going on the list, but I would implore you to check out that movie if you want to see a messed up movie tonight. Check that one out. All right, I'm going to go with, let's see, we went to the 80s for one. I'm going to go back to the 60s for this one.
That's the damnest thing I ever saw. I don't know, it seemed to swoop down at you deliberately.
Birds are not aggressive creatures, miss. They bring beauty into the world. It is mankind, rather, who insists upon making it difficult for life to exist upon this planet.
I mean, birds just don't go around attacking people without no reason, you know what I mean?
I think we're in real trouble. Huh? I don't know how this started or why, but I know it's here and we'd be crazy to ignore it.
To ignore what? The bird war?
Yes, the bird war, the bird attack plague. Call it what you like. They're massing out there someplace and they'll be back. You can count on it.
The Birds, 1963, Alfred Hitchcock classic, and it is I don't know how terrifying it is these days, but you also have to remember so many other movies have ripped off the premise of The Birds that all of a sudden the animals are crazy and killing us. But that was the first one. And when you think about it being birds, that's also really terrifying. The idea that these things that they outnumber us by like 101 at least are terrorizing us now. From the skies. Yeah. Yeah. They can go anywhere. They can do anything. Some of them are really smart. The crows are really smart.
Crazy birds.
I remember there was that one shot. I can't believe it actually was in a movie in 1963, but there's that shot of the guy with his eyes all pecked out. Ah!
Have you ever been attacked by a bird?
No, but one of the most terrifying moments of my life was I fell asleep one time and I had the window to my room open for what? I don't know why, but I had the window to my room open and a bird flew in the middle of the night and I woke up with this bird on the end of my bed and I didn't know what to do. And when the bird saw me, he didn't know what to do either. And it was literally just a lot of screaming and flapping. And I caught it in a trash can and like threw the trash can out the window.
Okay. With all the flapping going on, what was the bird doing?
Exactly. Exactly.
You were supposed to wake up and start singing. The bird was probably shocked that you weren't joining in.
If Snow White was real, she would have woke up and be like, ah! Have you been attacked by a bird?
My sister was attacked by a hummingbird because she had her hair pulled up with a pink scrunchie and it looked like a big flower.
Oh, no.
And the hummingbird was like drilling her in the head. And then it got like its wings all tangled up in her hair.
Oops, sorry. Finger slipped. Finger slipped. Finger slipped. All right. Anyway, so The Birds goes on the list at number 7 of 16. Rod Babcock, you have pick number 8.
Okay, I think it's a good pick, but it's not the best sound clip.
Come on, have some confidence.
So,
of course, he permanently lost control of all of his bodily functions.
Yes!
There's no spider here, but I will hunt down the alleged arachnid and spritz him to kingdom come.
I don't know what voice he's doing there.
That's
like John Goodman doing a Bill Murray impersonation.
In the movie Arachnophobia.
Yeah.
Which is what that clip is from. And my pick for the list is actually the particular newly discovered Venezuelan spider that the movie
the tarantula
centered around that they discovered at the beginning of the movie. my favorite scene in that movie is that thing crawls out of a crate. And a bird, and it's a huge spider.
Oh, I love that, yes. And a big bird, picks it up.
Bird swoops it up and is flying through the sky.
And it just falls
and
out
just
of the sky.
Suddenly drops like a rock without a sound.
By the way, that movie is really funny, too.
When I was a kid,
it's
and I,
really funny.
It is. It is very funny. It's very dark and very funny. When I was young and I first saw that and that bird dropped, I was like, I thought this was supposed to be a funny movie.
When you were young, that movie came out when you were like 19 years old. You weren't like a little kid.
I was young, and okay. I was probably not in my right mind.
you had the IQ, the brain cells of a 3-year-old, right. Basically, yeah.
My development stopped around 13 when I first discovered drugs.
All right, Rebecca Crockett playing for the text line. Every 100th text that we get from the text line is her pick. So what is your next one, Rebecca?
Okay, you're going to have to hang with me on the audio here, okay?
Okie dokie.
Going to be a little bit silent for a second.
He's right there.
The girl's pointing towards her dark closet.
Okay.
Parents are looking. Dad's slowly walking towards the closet. Uh-huh. Something's in there.
The hell was that?
Pet Sematary.
Oh, it was the cat.
Yep, that was Church the Cat.
Church the Cat.
Cemetery.
Good pick. You know, actually, that scene was the scariest, but the creepiest scene is when the dad's taking the bath and the rat just flies into the tub and it's all bloody and he's like, where the hell did this come from? And the cat's just in the corner going, ha! Oh my God. I can't believe that the remake of that is out.
I can't watch it.
Why would anybody remake that movie? It was perfect. It's terrifying. But it was perfect. They nailed it the first time. You're not going to do better than Miko Hughes as the little boy. I mean, he was
you
just...
You would think they could make the acting a little better.
Well, he was 3 years old, for God's sake. What are you going to do?
Some three-year-olds are more natural than others.
You were quite the stage mom, huh? All right. Church the Cat from Pet Sematary goes on the list at number 9 out of 16. And that is a good place to...
The Jonathan Lear Show.
Hey, I have to go.
You don't have to go.
No, I'm leaving.
You said you were leaving at 7. This is 6:47. There's a 7 in the number of what time it is.
By the time we get back and then it gets back to me and all that stuff, I got it. My wife's waiting for me outside.
All right, well, then you don't get a... No,
My little brother is fighting tonight, and so I'm going to watch him fight at Harris. He's in a kickboxing thing, and he's going to beat the crap out of somebody. So, yeah. I love you. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Okay.
Bye, Rebecca.
Coming up, my next pick for the list, because I'm actually going to stay here and do the list.
I'm here.
Is probably one that's come up on the text line the most, but I don't care. I'm stealing it for my own. And by the way, this one does... this is my clue on this, my little hint. This one does pop up a lot. If that makes any sense. Pops up a lot. That's coming up on the Jonathan Weir Show in just 5 minutes. We'll be back here at 6:54 here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
So we continue our Friday list. This week, the list is best animal antagonists, best animal villains. You know what I love is Rod sat here and argued with us about what could be on the list and what was supposed to be on the list. Then he ducks out as soon as he possibly can.
Yeah.
I did show up early.
Sam's here, everybody.
Hey, I'm
Sam,
here.
Phones.
Hey, Sam, phones.
They're not ringing.
Sam, phones! How you doing, Sam?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Haven't seen you in... Wait, no. I was going to say, too, it was... Rod almost did a whole week on the show.
Oh, he was so close.
He was so close to a complete week.
We were almost up to a week?
Yeah, almost a full week without any interruptions or anything.
It's got to be gradual.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll ease his way into it. He'll get 1 week out of the way, and then he'll be like, I got to take 3 weeks off now, buddy. Anyway, we're doing the list of best animal antagonists, best animal villains. Get your suggestions in on the text line at 22980. The next one from the list is mine, and it's this.
There is a creature alive today. Has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic. It lives to kill. a mindless eating machine. It will attack and devour anything. It is as if God created the devil and gave him jaws.
There you go. Bruce the Shark, otherwise known as Jaws, from the movie Jaws.
You know what I would really, really like to do with that movie? Have like a big watch night, like in the water, where everybody's like sitting in their tubes, and then you have it on a screen, big screen.
Oh, I've that actually, no, it's not. Somebody has done this, though. I know what you're talking about.
I don't know. I just think that would be so much fun.
Like in the
fun.
Water, like on a lake or something.
Yeah, not an ocean. I don't think I could do that.
I couldn't.
But I wouldn't be able to do that.
No, I would. I remember watching that movie. I was in the eighth grade when I saw it for the first time. It scared the living crap out of me. And I showed it to Henry like 3 years ago because he was seven. And he had seen some clip of it on YouTube. He's like, I want to watch Jaws. And I was like, I don't know, buddy. It's going to scare the hell out of you. And he's like, I want to watch it. It's like, all right, fine. We'll watch Jaws. He fell asleep. Fell asleep during it.
Really?
It did not scare him. It didn't do anything. The kid is desensitized. I don't know what to do about it. But he was not in the least bothered by Jaws. It really made me angry. I feel like I screwed up somewhere. That's all I'm saying. So Bruce the Shark from Jaws. That goes on the list. That's number 10 out of 16. Sam, phones? Phones,
you,
Sam.
You got anything?
Phones.
Do bugs count?
Rebecca, what's your next pick?
No.
He didn't even leave you with any picks or
no,
anything?
No, he didn't leave me with any picks. So I'm scraping. I'll get some.
Never mind. We'll get to you later.
We'll get back to you.
We'll go back to Rebecca.
Okay. From the text line. This one is from Jurassic Park.
Okay.
And I think this one is the scariest of the dinosaurs for one particular reason.
You bred raptors.
Yep. Raptors.
That's it.
Hold on, I have another clip of them just talking about how terrifying they are.
Bit of an alarmist, I'm afraid, but knows more about raptors than anyone.
What kind of metabolism do they have? What's their growth rate?
They're lethal at 8 months, and I do mean lethal. I've hunted most things that can hunt you, but the way these things move...
Fast for a biped?
Cheetah speed. 50, 60 miles per hour if they ever got out in the open. And they're astonishing jumpers.
Yes. So that's why we're taking extreme precautions. The viewing area...
There you go. So the raptors from Jurassic Park.
And specifically the part where they like tap their claw.
They're like tapping because
the kids are hiding in the kitchen.
Because you know what that is? They're thinking.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
All right, so the raptors from Jurassic Park go on the list at number 11 out of 16. Coming up at number 12. What are we missing so far? Well, I'll read the list off to you and when we get back, and you can tell us what we missed. Text them into the text line at 22980. If you want to get something on the list, though, that's how you do it. 22980. It's Jonathan Weir Show. We'll be back at 7:04 here on 98.1.
Or is it right?
I'm independent.
Are you crazy or just plain stupid?
I'm independent.
All right. It is Friday. Doing a Friday list. The list this week is best animal antagonist / villains, best animal villains. By the way, if you haven't noticed so far, all of the animals have been dumb, meaning they don't talk. They're not anthropomorphic. They're not intelligent on the level of human beings. They not to say that they're idiots. I'm just saying that they're not.
Yeah, they're not dumb. They're just animals.
Right. We're going to do a different list of animal villains, like animated animal villains at some point, because there's a lot of those. A lot of people are mad at us because Scar isn't on the list from The Lion King. And again, we're doing actual animals. It's not...
Get that don't talk, he talks.
Don't talk, he talks. So here are the 11, coincidentally, that we have so far. We have Hercules, the beast from The Sandlot. The rabbit of Kyle Banner from Monty Python. The R-O-U-S-S's from The Princess Bride. That's rodents of unusual size. The flying monkeys from The Wizard of Oz. The bear from The Revenant. Cujo from... Cujo. The birds. That one crazy Venezuelan spider from Arachnophobia. The cat. What is the cat's name? Church. The cat from Pet Sematary. Bruce, the shark in Jaws. And the raptors in Jurassic Park. Swing back around, and it's my turn. So I'm going to go with this classic one. Give me a second. Hold on. I muted my computer like an idiot. Here we go.
Wild, weird, wonderful. The stuff for which movies were made. Adventure to make you wonder if it's true, while your eyes convince you that it is. Truly the thrill of thrills. Don't miss it this time.
King Kong.
Okay.
King Kong.
I wasn't sure what that one was.
Yeah. It didn't say it. And that trailer was terrible. And we've come a long way as far as special effects. But at the time, that was groundbreaking stuff. It looks terrible now, the claymation and stop motion stuff. But man, at the time, it really did blow people away. They're like, that really looks like there's a giant gorilla on top of the, what was it, the Chrysler
Empire
Building?
Empire State Building?
Yeah, wouldn't be the Chrysler Building yet.
I was sad for him, though.
Yeah, it's not a great villain, I think. But I know a lot of people wanted it on there. And for a lot of the movie, he's a villain.
Yeah, all the way he's up until the end. He is. He's a misunderstood monkey. Gorilla.
Have you seen
whatever.
The new King Kong, Skull Island?
Is that the one with Jack Black?
No, that was the remake.
I liked that one with Jack Black.
The most recent one has Brie Larson and Tom Hiddleston, the guy who plays Loki.
I haven't seen that one.
It's good. I think I'm the only one who liked it, though. I'm the only person. All right, Sam.
I've got one.
All right, you get pick number, what are we at? 13 of 16.
Lucky 13.
Let's go.
Dr. Grant.
Oh, good.
This one's awesome.
The T-Rex.
That creepy purr.
Yeah, which is a chihuahua, actually. Chihuahua purr.
That's pretty funny.
Or I guess that was the sound a chihuahua makes when it's happy, but I've never seen that, and I don't know that anybody has. But that's what they said it was. The T-Rex from Jurassic Park.
My favorite part is when the T-Rex eats the guy on the toilet.
Yes. Was the T-Rex really a villain? When you think about it, he ate a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
He was the only person he ate in the entire movie. He just ate the lawyer, right?
And the goat.
Was it a person?
Well, but it was a goat.
And then at the end, he saves them. Because remember, the raptors are about to pounce on him.
Right.
And then out of nowhere, the T-Rex couldn't sneak up on them when they were in the cars because they could see the water vibrating. But at the very end of the movie, he sneaks up on the raptors.
That's because they were so distracted.
I guess so. So, T-Rex, great one. Sam Stevie, that goes on the list at number 13. Rebecca, playing for the text line. The next one is yours.
Okay, I think this is the first scary movie I ever watched.
All right.
Outpost in the middle of nowhere.
Yes!
You know how close I am to leaving this place right now? How close?
Maybe that's why Val and Earl decided to leave town.
Oh! Whoa, 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 whoa!
Hey, hold up. That's Edgar Deans.
They just picked the wrong day to do it.
Jeez. You guys better get the hell out of here. There's a killer on the loose.
Who could be doing it?
Is that a snake?
I'll give you boys $5 for this. 20.
All right, it is Tremors.
I love these old trailers.
Yeah, me too. I miss that. And I think we talked to Tom Kane one time, and he said they're going to start bringing that back. The in a world type of stuff. I really do miss that. I don't. Trailers that just tell you or just show you everything in the movie, eh.
Yeah.
I honestly think if we had the in a world guys back, trailers wouldn't show so much because it would just be the guy and that would be the context and explanation that you needed instead of the trailer having to show you way too much.
And we discussed that template that one time where it was like, a popular song, slowed down.
Yes, they're all the same. Oh, my God. That is a good pick, though. Tremor, the Worms from Tremors go on the list at number 14. The next one, let me see. I'm sure I can find something. Give me a second here.
Wait, you don't have anything?
Well, what I had doesn't work. That's the word I was looking for. Okay, here we go. This guy. Maybe this will be more accurate. Come on. All right, it's Godzilla.
I was going to guess it was Godzilla.
It is. It's Godzilla. You know, one of the problems with this, and I'm proud of us because we've gotten this far without it being really bad, but the problem with this is we're doing a bunch of dumb animals that can't talk.
And so we've got to find some sort of sound
to put it into. So that's number 15. Godzilla goes on the list at number 15 out of 16. Sam, you get the last pick.
Sam has the last one?
Yeah.
All right, so it's not going to be any sound of the animal itself because they never really make sounds.
Okay.
But this is a classic for sure. I don't know if it counts because you said non-animated.
Oh, for the love of God.
Did you say non-animated?
No, we didn't say non-animated.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, here you go.
Yeah.
It's Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry.
Wait, which one is the villain? First of all, Sam, we were doing movies.
Yeah, that's not a movie.
That's not a movie. That's shorts. The hell with that. I'm tired. I don't care. I'm not gonna. I'm tired of arguing this stupid thing.
Yeah, but that's not a movie.
All right.
You want to hear
somebody else? Then you play the last
one. My next one. Okay, from the text line. Text line gets the last one.
Okay.
That is the sound of killer bees in the saddest movie ever created.
No, you cannot do that!
My girl.
Oh, my. First of all, they weren't killer bees. They were just bees that happened to kill.
But they killed.
The bees in My Girl. Oh, my God.
Like I saw that on Twitter today.
Yeah.
And it was coming across the text line again. The bees.
Fine. The bees in My Girl.
Where's his glasses?
Where's his glasses? He can't see without his glasses. That girl who was in My Girl, I don't know the actress's name. She's on the show Veep on HBO. And she looks, other than being taller, she has like the same.
She looks exactly
the same. Like, honestly. And, just hearing the foul-mouthed things that she says on that show, pretty impressive. All right, it's time to vote. Sam, phones, you want to vote with us, or you want us to get somebody on the phones? I'll leave it up to you.
I can vote.
Okay. Can you? Are you old enough yet?
He can vote.
All right, here we go. Okay. First round, the beast from The Sandlot versus the rabbit from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
The beast from The Sandlot.
I'm going rabbit.
Beast.
You suck. Yeah. Rodents of unusual size from The Princess Bride versus the flying monkeys from Wizard of Oz.
How can you pair those two up against each other?
Sorry, it's just I'm just going in order that they were nominated today. Not doing anything tricky. I'm going with the monkeys.
Flying monkeys.
Fly monkeys.
I want the rodents.
Move on. The bear from The Revenant versus Cujo.
Cujo.
I've never seen...
Okay, I'm not going with Cujo. I'm just... It's pronounced Cujo.
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 The bear from The Revenant.
Or you're going with the bear from The Revenant?
Yeah, the bear.
I'm going with Cujo.
I'm going to go with the bear from The Revenant. The birds from the movie The Birds versus... The spider, that tarantula from Arachnophobia. I'm going to go with the birds from The Birds. Scarier to me.
Yeah, same birds.
Birds,
for sure.
Can't get away from those.
Church the Cat from Pet Sematary, the good version, not this god-awful version that's out now. Or Bruce the Shark from Jaws.
Bruce.
I was going to say Church the Cat.
Moves on. The Raptors from Jurassic Park versus King Kong. I gotta go with Raptors.
Yeah, Raptors. Because I just can't.
King Kong's a classic, but he's not that much of a villain.
Gentle giant.
The T-Rex from Jurassic Park versus the worms from Tremors.
T-Rex for sure.
Nope, worms from Tremors.
Tremor worms.
Oh man.
Godzilla versus the bees from My Girl. I'm going with
the Godzilla. Bees.
I gotta go with Godzilla.
Godzilla. Thank you. Moves on. Don't get me wrong. I get what you did there. It's too depressing. I don't want to have the saddest scene of my child. Oh, my God.
That makes them the greatest villain.
The beast from The Sandlot versus the flying monkeys from Wizard of Oz.
Flying monkeys.
I'm going to go with Flying Monkeys. That moves on. The Bear from The Revenant versus Birds from The Birds.
The Bear.
The Birds.
I got it with The Bear, actually. I mean, the birds are terrifying, but I figured...
That bear beating.
Yeah. Bruce, the shark in Jaws versus the raptors in Jurassic Park. Two Spielberg movies going against each other. I got to go with the classic Jaws. Though I guess they're both classics at this point, but still.
I'm going with Bruce, too.
Bruce moves on. Tremor worms versus Godzilla. Godzilla.
I'm going to go with the tremor worms.
Godzilla.
I'm going to go with the tremor worms also because, much like King Kong, Godzilla isn't always a bad guy. He's not always a villain. Sometimes he's just misunderstood. He saves the day. Flying monkeys versus the bear from The Revenant for the worst animal antagonist, worst animal villain of all time, the scariest one. Flying monkeys versus the bear.
What if it was a
flying bear?
Oh my gosh. The flying monkeys, because they could do more widespread damage.
Okay, yeah. The bear you could probably stop eventually. Flying monkeys come in a swarm.
Flying monkeys.
Flying monkeys moves on. Bruce, the shark in Jaws versus tremor worms. I gotta go with Bruce.
Yeah.
Bruce moves on to the final, where it comes down to, and I can't imagine... anybody could complain about this, but I'm sure plenty of people will. The final comes down to the flying monkeys from The Wizard of Oz versus Bruce, the shark in Jaws.
What a scariest matchup.
Movie antagonist, movie villain, who scared
really
you the
opposite,
most?
Because the monkeys come at you. They fly at you.
Right, they come
Bruce
from above.
Is lurking below.
And Bruce comes from below.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Whoa.
Man, which
both
is worse?
At the same time.
I gotta go with Bruce because the flying monkeys didn't make people afraid to go to Kansas or to go outside.
No, you can see them coming, too. Yeah.
But I'm going Bruce scared people. It literally affected tourism that year because people were afraid to go in the water.
I mean, to say I still could not watch a movie floating in the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jaws.
Then it's unanimous. Bruce the shark from Jaws wins for best animal antagonist of all time.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
Coming up on the Jonathan Weir Show, we're going to talk about how these nurses had to bail out a father who was arrested for traffic violations. Why was he arrested for traffic violations and why did a bunch of nurses bail him out? It's a heartwarming story. It starts off infuriating, but ends up being heartwarming, trust me. And we'll talk about it in 5 minutes, back here at 7:24, here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
Hey, wait, all right, listen to the story, because initially you're going to be like, what? And then you're going to be like, oh. You're going to go from that. That is the range of emotions I predict you will experience with this story. A group of nurses have come to the rescue of an Illinois father. This guy found himself in handcuffs because he was speeding. He doesn't have a license. He was rushing through the streets of Touche, Illinois, or Centerville, Illinois, and was pulled over by the police. He explained to them, the reason I'm speeding is because my daughter is choking on a penny. And I'm trying to get her to the hospital. And they said, okay, we'll get you to the hospital. But then they arrested him.
What?
He's arrested at the hospital. The one-year-old's mother arrived at the jail, and she learned that the nurses had chipped in money to bail him out. I don't know why you... I get it. You shouldn't be driving without a license. But
right.
He had a legitimate reason. He wasn't making up a reason
this
for driving without a license.
This was a life-or-death situation.
Right. And so the nurses chipped in and helped him out. What would you have done if this was your kid and you didn't have a license? I don't think anybody out there would have done any differently than what this guy... Okay,
well, I would have called 911.
Here's what I would have done. I would have gotten in the car with the kid and been speeding to the hospital while on the phone with 911 saying, hey, I don't have a license. Just want to let you know I might need a police escort to the hospital, though, because I need to get my daughter there because she's choking on a freaking penny.
I don't know that I would have tried to get the object out of her mouth.
I'm sure they did.
I would have tried everything at home on the phone with 911 waiting for an ambulance.
First of all,
it's
a one-year-old, so they can't say, like, I swallowed a penny, right?
Right.
Second of all, I agree with you, but we don't know that they didn't try. They just knew the girl was choking. They didn't know. And if it's in the windpipe in a certain way, maybe it's not coming out. That does terrify me, though, because I've taken infant CPR. I know how to do the Heimlich on Finn. And yet at the same time, I am 100% certain that if he was choking on something, all of that stuff would leave my body in a flea of panic. Like, you know how you get when you're panicking? You don't remember your own name, much less how to do some complicated procedure. I don't know how EMTs do it other than just practice, and they don't care about the people they're working on as much as you care about your own child. But I that scares me so much, is if I had to do something like that, I think I would forget how to do it. I'd be like, what's a windpipe? I don't know.
I have been trained in all forms of CPR, though given my track record...
Yeah, good point. Like
it makes
lady
me
on
a little
train.
Nervous, yeah. when it comes to my own kids. My daughter started choking on cheese at a restaurant once. Like, she had one of those cheese sticks and just swallowed it, and like the cheese got caught and like wouldn't go down all the way, and she started choking and she started turning blue, and I jumped up to go over and like, okay, I've got to start doing something here, and I was literally like playing it through in my mind, like, what do I do? And I couldn't remember like every step exactly, but I was like, I'm just going to jump in there and try it. And she got it out before I got over to her. I was so thankful.
I am shocked. You've never seen me eat, probably. Or I guess we've eaten.
I've seen you eat.
You and Rod and I have gone out for dinner and stuff after the show before. I eat really fast. Like, I think it might not have looked that fast because we were sitting near Rod, who inhales food. But I eat really fast. I'm shocked I've never choked on food because I eat like a duck. Just I really don't chew that much, but I've never choked. Having said that, I have a cousin who was one time choking in a restaurant on a piece of steak. And this guy came up, he's like, I know how to do the Heimlich. And the guy punched him in the stomach.
Oh my gosh, I don't think
which
that's how.
Popped. No, it worked though.
Glad it worked.
It popped the steak out. But I was like, did you owe that guy money or something? And this was just his
he's
opportunity.
He's waiting for an opportunity.
But no, he was joking. Was like, and the guy's like, I know the Heimlich. Boom. And it worked. So there was probably somebody at that restaurant who was like, oh, I know how to do the Heimlich. Just go up to somebody and punch him as hard as you can in the stomach.
I choked on a grape once, but I was in the back of a classroom, and it was when I was a paraeducator, and we weren't supposed to eat food, but I was like, yeah, I'm a teacher, I'm gonna eat. So I swallowed the grape like whole, and it got stuck, and I started like kind of choking, but I was trying to be quiet about trying to get it up, and I was like, okay, I might just die here because I don't want anybody to hear that I'm choking.
Oh my God. You would rather die than get in trouble.
Uh-huh.
Is that what you're saying?
Or people didn't notice. Like, I didn't want everybody to, like, get up and rush over to me when I was choking on a grape.
Text line 22980. I don't know. Do you know what to do if your kid's choking? Have you ever been put in that situation? I'm fortunate I haven't. I don't know how none of my kids have choked so far.
So far.
So far.
The text line says, do you eat so fast because your big head, you just open up and dump it in?
You know, that might have something to do with it. I do have a really massive mouth
Lip
and a jaw,
head.
So that could be.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, I think that might be part of it. All jokes aside, I think it's because of the size of my head that I eat so fast.
It also says that his fine, the guy who took his daughter to the hospital, his fine should have been one penny once it was removed from
his
daughter's throat.
Here you go. I got this. It's a little slimy, but how about this?
Jonathan Weir Show.
All right, more of your texts coming up on the Jonathan Weir Show at 22980. Also, we need to talk about this. They competed for a parking spot for over an hour. Story about two of the probably most stubborn human beings you will ever hear coming up. In just 5 minutes, we'll be back here at 7:36 here on 98.1.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
So I got the text line. I was very upset because they said I'd never finished a story. What story did I not finish?
You finished it.
The story about the dad with the
With the
daughter, he was arrested in the parking lot. The daughter's fine, maybe. That's what they needed to know. The daughter,
nurses helped bail him out.
I don't know what I missed. Anyway, from the text line at 22980, I gave my cat the Heimlich maneuver one time. We're talking about people choking. Did it work, Dexter? Did it?
I sure hope so.
Yeah. By the way, are you sure your cat was choking and it wasn't just a hairball? Because if I had to give my cat the Heimlich every time I had a hairball, I would be giving that thing the Heimlich every couple of days.
Your cat has a problem, then.
My cat did have a problem.
Yeah, my cat's never really got hairballs.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't a common thing.
Cat had very loose hair. Also, a little excessive with the grooming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a little too excessive with it.
Maybe it's the diet you're feeding it.
Maybe. I don't have a cat anymore.
Too much hair.
I'm saying it was the cat I had. I would. What, you're not supposed to feed them a heaping helping of hair every day?
Raisins.
He would brush it and then...
Wait, hold on. I need to know this. Text line. Can cats eat raisins?
Oh, that's a good question.
You know,
I don't think they would eat raisins.
Yeah, that's the thing with cats. Cats are picky. Dogs are not.
Uh-huh.
Because I never worried when I had cats. I never worried about them eating things they weren't supposed to. Except for I should have, because one cat died from eating a bunch of audio tape and it got tangled up in her. It was horrible.
Okay, that's sad.
It was really sad. I love that cat, actually.
I babysat my buddy's cat and he ate the Takis that I left out on my... on my dresser.
What are Takis?
Oh, they're like the super duper spicy chips.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it didn't end well.
No, it did not. No. Their end did not end well.
No.
Did it?
No, I had to clean up some stuff.
Oh my god.
To say the least.
Yeah. All right, text line 22980. I'm doing this now because it's Friday. Here's what I want to do. 22980. In fact, I'm going to open up some phone lines. Because the hell with it. It's Friday. Let's do this. It'll be fun. 576-7798. Weirdest thing your pet has ever eaten. It's the weirdest thing a pet that you've owned has ever eaten. What do they eat? What could you just not believe that they ate?
Hey, good news. No reports of cats being ill from raisins.
Okay. Well, that's good. I had a cat named Mooney. And he's still alive, by the way, in case you're worried about this story not ending well. Came home from work one day, and I noticed that there were a bunch of condom wrappers on the floor.
Oh, no.
And I was like, Mooney, you dirty dog, you were eating my condoms, weren't you? And indeed he was. He had eaten, it was like a six-pack, just to show how optimistic I was. It was a six-pack of condoms, and he had eaten them.
That's disgusting.
And was choking on the condoms, and I was like rubbing his belly, and he's like, and he coughed one up. And I was like, oh god, but there were five other ones in there. So I rushed him to the emergency room, and they're like, it was like a late night vet place. Uh-huh. They're like, there's really nothing we can do. Like, we're not going to do surgery on him. He should be able to poop him out just fine. The funniest sound in the world was that cat trying to get those condoms out of his digestive system, because he was squatting over his kitty litter box. You've never heard a cat grunting before. That cat was squatting over his litter box going,
kitty.
Yeah, poor kitty.
Were the vets laughing at you when you told them what he ate?
No, because I'm sure they have seen everything. But maybe it was nice of them not to laugh. Like, yeah, sure, condoms. It was balloons, right? Come
on. Maybe they were laughing behind your back.
There's no way these were condoms. Hey, Sam. Phones!
No, seriously, Sam, phones.
Seriously, Sam, phones.
I'll get him.
Okay.
I fed my cat goldfish once, an actual goldfish.
Why did you?
Because the goldfish died.
Oh, and I just thought the goldfish pissed you off.
No,
like, yeah.
The goldfish died, but it was one of those like big eyeballed goldfish.
Okay.
And I just thought cats like fish. And so I put it in the cat's bowl, but the cat didn't want to like leave it in the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That cat shredded that goldfish up and spread it all over the house.
Oh my god.
Yeah, bad idea.
These are really good. I can't wait to get to the phones. Let's look at the text line real quick. My dog ate a big old bud of pot. How did that affect him?
Yeah.
But he was I don't know if that would do anything if you just ate it. Because don't you have to, I think with marijuana, you actually have to cook it. It has to be hot for you to get the THC to release or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
From the text line, I had a Rottweiler that would eat rocks.
Just straight up rocks?
Rocks. I had a friend whose dog ate rocks.
Maybe it's like with birds, because birds eat rocks to help their digestion. So maybe it's the same thing.
I would think that would cause a blockage.
Or maybe you just need to feed your dogs better food, people. Let's go to Ryan and Lee Summit. Ryan, what did your dog eat?
Pop rocks.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Pop.
I don't understand how a dog can eat straight up rocks, but
yeah.
Pop rocks.
Okay, so it ate pop rocks?
Yeah.
Did it freak out?
He was just like looking like they're popping all on his tongue. He was freaking out. He had no idea what was going on.
My dog, Gordon, I guess some food fell onto a power strip in our living room at some point. And there's still like the taste of food on the power strip. Every once in a while, he'll get it into his head and be like, there's food on the power strip. And he'll lick the power strip and then get shocked and jump like 20 feet across the room. And, be like, and then 2 or 3 days later, it without fail, the lights dim and the dog screams and jumps across the room again because he just licked that power strip again.
Jonathan, you need to take better care of your animals.
Hey, hey, hey. Take great care of that dog. It's not my fault that he... It has a suicide pact or something going on. I don't know what it is.
Okay, there's a really good one on the text line here.
All right.
One time our cat ate a long string and pooped it halfway out. She came out of the litter box yowling. So we went to see what was wrong with her and saw the string hanging out. We had to grab the string and pull it the rest of the way out.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, that was the thing when Mooney, the cat, ate the condoms. Uh-huh. They were like, make sure you count all the condoms. And I said to the vet, because it's me, and I don't care, I always think I'm on. I said to the vet, I can't use them again. Like,
oh,
right?
My gosh.
And they're like, no, you can't use them again. I was like, okay, it was just a question, because I, you know, they were good. They were good condoms. Let's go to, oh, wow, Kenny in Marshall. Kenny, what did your dog eat?
He ate a gram of the real high-powered magic mushrooms while I was in the bathroom.
Oh, no. You know, dogs are already kind of, at least my dog is, it's already kind of on shrooms. Mm-hmm. Like, he's seeing things that aren't and reacting to things that don't exist.
Crazy nuts.
Yeah. So what did he do?
Well, it started off, everything was fine. I didn't know he did it for a minute, and then about half an hour later when it kicked in, he started, like, turning circles in the floor and giving me these real weird looks, and his eyes got real big, and he started looking at his paws and looking himself all over, and then he just fell over in the floor a couple of times, and then he got up and walked around, laid on my lap, rolled on his back, and then farted, and then got up again and started wandering around and looked at me, and then just laid on the floor and went to sleep.
Did you say he was licking his paw or looking at his paw?
Licking
his paw. Okay, I was hoping he was looking at his paw, like,
his paws, yeah. He just kind of wallowed, kind of staggered around a little bit and just kind of fell over, and that was it. He was all happy. He had a smile on his face, and he was farting about every hour, and that was about it. I guess to give him gas.
All right, but he was fine besides that?
Oh, yeah, it was totally fine. He wasn't any dumber than he was when he took him.
All right, Kenny, thanks for your call. All right, I love that.
Okay, here's one. My dog brought in a road-killed flattened squirrel and ate it before I realized that it wasn't rawhide. Yeah. Yeah.
How do you confuse those two, though?
Well, I mean, it's flattened. And,
seem like it would,
you know,
be
color similar.
Confusing. I'm just saying.
He's just chewing on it, you know, wrapped in his paws, ripping at it.
Remember, we had a cat named Frosty, and for a very short period of time, we had hamsters in the house. One of the hamsters got loose, and Frosty got it and mauled it. And my little brother was like 4 years old. He grabbed the hamster and ran up to me, and it was bleeding, and blood was trickling down his arm. And he's like, "Look, a mouse!"
No.
And he held it right up to my face. I went, "Ah!" Like, that's cool.
Here's another one on the text line. My dog ate my wife's shellacked alligator head that her brother got her from Florida. These are like all dog ones. There's not a lot of
cats. Yeah, because cats don't eat anything. They don't have to.
I had a cat that was obsessed with Bengay, and anytime anybody had Bengay on, the cat would just go after him, like yowling and licking at the Bengay.
That's weird.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know cats had a thing for that.
Well, that cat did.
Yeah, he was gay for Bengay.
My friend's dog likes the taste of lotion. So they lick their legs and stuff. Like whenever they put lotion on, first thing they want to do is lick the lotion. It's super weird.
Did you say it was cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Dogs yeah. lick lotion.
Weird.
Mm. So raisins will kill dogs.
But not cats.
But shrooms, and we've had a bunch of people say weed, and lotion, that's fine.
Chocolate won't either.
Chocolate won't kill the dog?
No, my dog.
No, no, no. Wait,
don't give out that information, because milk chocolate does not kill dogs,
oh.
but real chocolate does.
Okay.
Yeah, real okay. chocolate does kill dogs. Let's go to Chanel. Chanel, you're on the Jonathan Weir Show.
Hey, Jonathan. It's actually Mel.
Well, that was close enough. All right, so Mel. What did your dog or cat, or I'm assuming is an animal, eat?
Well, I'm a vet tech, so I can tell you the list of everything we've ever pulled out of an animal's stomach.
Oh, boy, this is awesome.
Okay,
yeah.
This is
all right, everybody just stop what you're doing, because we have the, no pun intended, appendix here of all the things that your pets might have eaten. All right, let's list them off.
Tampons,
that makes sense. I could see that.
Underwear. But my favorite will always be the underwear from another woman.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute. The brought him in and the you got the underwear out, I'm assuming, and the wife or the girlfriend was like, wait a minute, those aren't my underwear?
My second favorite is condoms. We had the entire family waiting for the dog to come out of surgery. It was a newly married couple. The doctor comes out with a baggie of what's in the bag.
And yeah.
Condoms. The family's Catholic.
Oh. Oh, no. Yeah. Every sperm is sacred. You can't let that happen.
Oh, yeah.
All right. The best one has to be the other woman's panties, though.
Oh, yeah.
So did she freak out?
We had to call the police.
Oh, my gosh.
Thanks for the call, Mel.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
Oh, boy.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
That was good. I'm ending on that one. Coming up on the Jonathan Weir Show. I don't know. It's Friday. You figure it out. Why do I have to do everything around here? You know what? You do something for once. Not you, Rebecca. You're great. And you, Sam. Love you. But you know who you are. Jackass.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
25 years ago today, we all got the news that Kurt Cobain had taken his own life. Very sad day, and also I feel really old. I was in the sixth grade, I think.
Yeah, I had no idea it'd been that long.
Sam was -4 years old. Wasn't even alive yet. You know, you kind of, I always try to think of like life positioning. I think we all do this, but like I always think like, where was I when I was at your age and everything like that, and what your life is like compared to mine based on events.
Probably doing something.
But no, my point is like Kurt Cobain to you is like John Lennon for me. Because you never lived in a world where Kurt Cobain was putting out albums and was touring and people were talking about him. I was born right after John Lennon was killed, and I've always said that. Like I don't know. It just feels different to me. Like he was always dead, as far as I knew, and I'm sure it's the same thing with you. I don't know. I was talking with Rod about this. Like, could we make a list, or would this be too dark if we did a list of best songs by musicians who died young?
A little
dark. Dark.
How young is young?
Under 40.
Well, Elvis would be on that list, right?
How old was he?
I don't know. Maybe he was over 40.
He might have been 40. But like Janis and Jimi Hendrix and no, he was 42 years old, Elvis.
Okay, let's make it 45. Okay. Under 45. No, I think we could do it.
It's still too dark. No. Because the whole time we'd be like, yeah, this guy's death really bothered me.
Yeah, you guys would be like that.
Yeah, we would be like that.
I'd be like, this is a great song.
You're like, this guy, I'm glad this guy's dead. I wouldn't have listened to his music if he'd never died.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, yep.
Never heard of David Bowie before he died.
Wait, who?
That's right. That's what I was thinking. I don't know. I'm trying to think. There's that whole 27, the Jim Morrison, The Doors, because you have that on there. I don't know. No, I don't like it. No, never mind. It'd be too depressing. Not doing it. We got a bunch of really funny texts on that last segment, and thank you guys for that. From the text line at 22980, back in the 80s, my buddies thought it would be funny to get my sister's bird high. They put the cage on the coffee table and blew smoke at it. Then they put pot seeds in the bird feeder.
Oh, no.
Needless to say, the next morning, he was laying at the bottom of the cage. My sister saw the bird seeds and kicked my butt. At least he died happy. No, he didn't.
No, that's terrible.
No, he didn't. He died terrified.
That is so
he
horrible.
He died like I am anytime I've ever smoked pot, where it's just like me going, I hate this. Why is it like this for me but not anybody else? That bird probably died thinking he probably died thinking, I'm not a bird, I'm a god, and I'm going to transcend birdness now. No, you're not. You're going to die, stupid bird in a cage.
On that same note, we got another text that said, going to Taco Bell, what would you like?
No.
Three hard shell taco supremes, please.
Oh, no.
No meat.
No, I would like two beef supreme chalupas.
Okay.
You don't get her anything.
$5 value box.
I want the
She's going to order a bunch of stuff without meat.
And you can have the chalupas. That's fine.
$5 value box. What's in that?
It's got like one of those quesarito things. And then I think it has a chalupa and then a taco. And then those cinnamon twists.
Sounds good.
It's the value box.
Get two of those. Bring those in. Don't get anything for Rebecca.
The Jonathan Lear Show.
Hey, Rebecca, what is coming up on the show?
Available men of the world, listen up. Charlize Theron needs a date. What do you need to do to qualify for a date with her? Stay tuned and I will tell you at 8:04 here on KMBZ.
Let's get started.
Just press play. What is this show?
I don't know.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
I mean, is it left or is it right?
I'm independent.
Are you crazy or just plain stupid?
I'm independent.
Show for this week. Coming up, we got Max on Movies. He'll be here to review Shazam and the new Pet Sematary. Is Shazam as good as I hope it's going to be? And is Pet Sematary as bad as I think it is? You'll find out in just about 15 minutes or so when Max comes here to review those two movies. But before we do any of that, let's take a ride on Rebecca Crockett's Celebrity Rocket.
So this is gossip.
Looks
pretty good.
Okay, Jeff Bezos. Bezos.
Bezos.
Bezos' wife.
More like Bozo. Right? I'm going to sneeze. Hold on. Yeah. Jeff Bozo.
His wife is walking away with a little cash from their separation.
Richest man in the world, and he got divorced. He's the CEO of Amazon, right? Yeah. People thought she was going to get half of all of his money, but she's only going to get how much?
Only $36 billion.
That's not enough. That's not.
No. Billion. Not making her one of the richest women in the world.
I think that makes her the richest woman in the world. Is there anybody richer than her?
I don't know.
Not to slight your gender or anything, but are there any richer women than her?
Oprah? Is Oprah richer than her?
Not $36 billion richer.
Really?
No. Hold on.
Okay.
Alice Walton is the richest woman in the world. Yes. From Walmart.
Yeah.
Okay.
$44.4 billion.
There you go. Okay. So it's just...
Anybody else?
I don't know.
Sam? Richest
women. Oh, no. She's not even number one. I can't even pronounce... Francis?
Francois Bettencourt Myers.
Yeah.
She is the CEO of L'Oreal.
Okay. So there is women that have a lot more money than that.
But Mackenzie Bezos is now third.
Well, she's on the list.
Yeah. She's doing okay.
Yeah, his estimated fortune is $149 billion.
Right. People thought she was going to get $70 billion, and she only got a paltry $36
billion. No, but she seems satisfied with what she got,
I don't even know why you would need more than $100 million. Like, we're at a point where I used to think when I was a kid, if you made $1 million, you're set for life. That's stupid. Obviously not. You need at least, I don't know, what would you say, $50 million, and then you don't have to worry about anything ever again.
No, I got down to like $30 in my account this week,
uh-huh.
And I made it to Friday.
Good job.
That was a close one.
But I'm saying, like, to never have to worry about anything again.
Uh-huh.
I would say maybe 10 million. Right? Why would you need more than that? I mean, I don't care.
You're probably doing on 3 million.
I'm not making some socialist rant or some communist spread the wealth thing. I just don't understand why anybody. It just gets into a competitive thing. I just have to have more money than that person. I need to be super rich. Why would your life be any better because you have a bigger yacht?
I mean,
big deal.
If you do it right, you only really need a couple $100,000 to get yourself started, and then you will have your money will make.
Yeah, your money will make itself. Good point. Yeah, you and get so you 10 million and then you're earning the
10
interest
million, you
on
don't
that.
Even need 10 million.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
All right, who wants a date with Charlize Theron?
I mean, I'm married, but it's very kind of her to ask, and I would like you to let her know that I appreciate it, but I am attached.
All right, Sam, you interested? Sam?
I'm currently looking up who that is.
You don't know
my gosh. Are
I know who Charlize Theron is.
Kidding me?
She's an actress.
Yeah, and she's gorgeous.
She is, I must say.
What kind of movies do you watch? You don't know who Charlize Theron is. You ever seen Monster?
I'm not big on
okay, well, that's not
names
a good example.
Of actors and actresses.
Oh, okay. So like Tom Hanks, you have no idea who that is.
I mean, yeah. I tried to tell you the last time I was on, the two celebrities that I mixed up, and I mixed up the names of the celebrities that I was mixing up.
Now I'm confused. Okay, well, Charlize Theron. She has been single for 10 years.
Yeah, she hasn't even had a date in that time, or what?
Well, she's not mentioning whether she had a date. She just said that she's been single for 10 years, and she just needs somebody to grow a pair. So if you can do that, she's interested.
She might be...
People say I am old at heart.
She might be the rare case of a woman who actually is too beautiful for a man to ask her out.
Because she's
not just, like, pretty. She's freaking beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, classically beautiful. And I think that most guys would be intimidated by that.
And she's aging very well.
Yeah, how old is she? She's not that old. She's, like, in her early 40s, right?
Sure.
You've seen Mad Max? She's the chick with one arm in Mad Max.
I have seen Mad Max. Yeah.
Okay.
But she does have two arms.
She actually does have two arms. She's going to be in a movie with Seth Rogen coming up
Gosh, called Long Shot.
Yeah. And
yes, I want to see this.
She was his babysitter and...
she's running for president.
And then like they get tangled up in something and
then they start
to fall in love. And the trailer I saw was very funny because the trailer was just like, wait, you were his babysitter?
Yeah.
He did not age well.
Right.
And that is true about Seth Rogen, but you should have known that about Seth Rogen when he was 25. You look at that guy when he was young, you're like, yeah, he's been through some. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been through some gruesome.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to that movie. The first movie I ever remember seeing her in was Mighty Joe Young.
Oh, yeah. First movie I remember her in was Cider House Rules. I saw her butt.
It cracks me up that she literally said, I'm shockingly available.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
I think she's saying, like hello, guys are intimidated by me because I'm so gorgeous.
She's got the fishing pole with the bait, and she's just throwing it out in the river hoping for the best.
Well, she probably also doesn't go places where you would meet somebody. I don't know.
Well.
Or maybe she just has trust issues.
When you're an actress of that caliber, I'm sure it's your people who are setting you up with.
Maybe.
Somebody.
But also when you're famous of that caliber, an actress of that caliber, and you know, as beautiful as she is, I think at a certain point you think everybody's trying to use me, so I can't trust anybody either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even if it is a quality guy, he might clam up at her fame.
Yeah.
There's a whole skit about it on How I Met Your Mother, about looking people up on the internet before you go on a date with them, because it'll affect how you are on the date. Even if they're not a crazy successful human being, even if they're just like... somewhat more successful than you.
You're better off going in blind, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Huh. All right, well, Sam, there's your chance.
Prince Harry. He is no longer available.
I guess not. No, he's married.
Yeah, he's married to Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
And they're about to have a baby sometime soon. Anyway, he's acting like an old man already because he hates Fortnite.
You know, he's acting like a man of any age, actually, because my 10-year-old son hates Fortnite.
Wait, when did this happen?
He used to like it. We played it all the time last summer, and now he literally told me a few days ago, he's like, I don't play Fortnite. That's for virgins. And I was like,
wait.
Hey, mother, you better still be a virgin. And he's like, wait, what does virgin mean?
Oh, no.
And I was like, okay, you don't know what it means. Good. Then you just don't know. But he, yeah.
Who did Who did he hear that from?
I don't know. YouTube,
he's
probably.
YouTube.
And they're like, yeah, Fortnite's for virgins. He's like, yeah, I'm not a virgin.
He just thinks it's bad automatically.
People from Virginia are just stocking up on Fortnite. Anyway, but Prince Harry hates Fortnite.
Yeah, he says it's super addicting and really damaging to families who just spend all their time just on the computer, because that's what it's created to do, is make people addicted to it. And
okay.
He also thinks social media is more addicting than alcohol or drugs, and hates that as well.
I'm actually, I don't disagree with him. I think you can definitely connect with your kids, as I have, through video games, and families can play video games together, and it can be really fun. Fortnite could be the game for that particular family. There's nothing wrong with that. To me, it's no different than family game night where you play Monopoly or whatever. It's a bonding experience. Having said that, he's totally right about social media. Social media is an evil.
I bond with my kids over social media.
No, you stalk your kids over social media. That's the difference.
We Snapchat each other all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I played a lot of video games nonstop when I was a kid. I was a Call of Duty kid. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it made me a super introvert. But at the same time, I played the game with my friends.
Right.
So, like, it was the same friends that I saw in person were the same friends that I played with.
Right.
On
and you
could have
played
Duty.
With, if, I don't know if your dad was into video games, but you could have played with your dad. No.
I didn't play with my dad.
I'm just saying you could have.
Thanks, John.
Cats in the Cradle. Silver yeah. Spoon, the moon. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All that.
Yep.
The Jonathan Weir Show.
Well, that was a depressing note. Coming up on the Jonathan Weir Show, we'll have Max on Movies here. He'll be reviewing Shazam, which looks like a fantastic, fun movie. In fact, I'm going to go see it tonight. I'm going to pick Henry up as soon as I get home, and we're going to go see it. And he's also going to review Pet Sematary, which looks like hot, stinking garbage.
Hey, did you think of my punishment yet?
I did. I will let you know what your punishment is in just a few minutes. You're on 98.1.
Hello! My name is Inigo Montoya.
Danger's my middle name.
I know little kids!
You sit
down! I ain't no little kid!
Are you happy? It's alive!
The stuff that dreams are made of.
The picture that got small.
Max on Movies.
It is the Jonathan Weir Show, and every single week at this time, we talk to film critic extraordinaire Max Foyzy. He's got his own show live on the big 550 KTRS in St. Louis. You can hear that tomorrow night from 9 to 11 p.m. If you're in St. Louis, you can listen to it live on the radio, obviously. But if you're not there, you can go to KTRS.com and listen live that way, or just catch the podcast on SoundCloud. Max, you always have great guests on your show. Who's your guest this week?
My guest this week is the young actress Sophia Lillis. She played Beverly Marsh in It Chapter 1, and she'll be reprising her role in It Chapter 2 later on this year. She plays the younger version of the character that will be played by Jessica Chastain. You might have also seen her on HBO's Sharp Objects. She played the younger version of Amy Adams' character. So she sort of has a cottage industry of playing the younger version of redheaded actresses. But she also has her first starring role as the iconic character Nancy Drew. I mean, this is a character that's been around forever, it seems. And the last time they tried a big screen adaptation was with Emma Roberts, and I thought that was a really good movie, a very great family film that failed to find its audience. So perhaps the version with Sophia Lillis will do a bit better. But she's coming on the show to talk everything about Nancy Drew and Amy Adams and the upcoming It movie, because of course I want to talk about Pennywise and all of that. And this kind of makes for an interesting tie-in with the movies that I'm reviewing this week, because the kid that played Eddie in It Chapter 1 alongside my guest Sophia Lillis is Freddie Freeman in the new movie Shazam. And then also, speaking of the Stephen King universe, there's a new version of Pet Sematary out. So this weekend's Max on the Movie Show had a theme, and I didn't even realize it when I put it.
You should have just gotten Stephen King to be on the show, Max.
One day.
You know, I always give you you don't work hard enough. That's always something I have always said about Max Foyzy. He just needs to put in a little more effort. All right, so Max, let's talk about the movies that are out this week. You mentioned one already, but I want to talk about Shazam first, because I'm a lot more excited about this than I am about a remake of a movie that was already done pretty damn well back in the 80s. But Shazam, which It's kind of funny. I didn't put this together until today, but I was looking at tickets to get it because the boy and I, the 10-year-old Henry, and I are going to go see it after my show tonight. And I realized Captain Marvel and Shazam are playing at the same time. And I was like, that. I almost for half a second was like, wait, wait, which one am I going to?
Sure.
Because, right. So let's get into it.
Well, you know, I can't believe, as a comic book fan, a lifelong fan of that medium, I can't believe that we have two Captain Marvel movies, basically, and they're in cinemas at the same time. I just think that's amazing.
Now, can they call him Captain Marvel in the DC? So that's why it's called Shazam, because Shazam is not a character.
Exactly. Shazam is not the superhero's name.
Yeah, I mean, he's a character, Shazam, but he's not the superhero.
Yes, he is the name of the wizard that has like the strength of Solomon and the speed of Mercury and all this kind of stuff. And so when you say this old wizard's name, when you've been blessed with him for the power to be the champion of eternity, when you say Shazam, you turn into Captain Marvel. But we kind of got into this when Marvel's Captain Marvel, I know it's confusing, came out, how DC Comics got the character from Fawcett Comics. They got a bunch of characters from older comics line. I mean, Marvel did the same thing. You know, they took Captain America from Timely Comics, you know. And so there is a nice nod to that in Shazam. The high school that they go to is Fawcett High School.
Ah,
I thought that was really cool.
That is really cool.
But DC, when Captain Marvel, the Shazam version, debuted, he actually outsold Superman, and DC Comics didn't like that, and basically they bought their competition, and they brought Captain Marvel into the fold. And Captain Marvel, for DC, was pretty popular. He got his own TV show in the 70s, and people know Billy Batson says Shazam to turn into Captain Marvel, but they were really silly back in the 80s, and they let the copyright on the name lapse. And Marvel, being the distinguished competition, thought, well, this is great. Let's just snap it up. So they did, with no plans on doing anything with it. They had a bad character named Captain Marvel, and then they kind of folded her or him into another bad character, Ms. Marvel, and they didn't really know what to do with it, as we've already covered a couple weeks ago, until Kelly Sue DeConnick came up and revamped the character into sort of a modern-day Green Lantern, and did a great, great job, and I love that version of Captain Marvel. But because it's a big powerhouse now, they're never going to surrender the name back to DC. So DC just started calling this character Shazam in the books, which makes no sense, because he can't say his own name, John.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, if somebody's like, so, who are you? The S word. I'm...
Right. Because if he says I'm Shazam,
he turns into freaking Shazam, player. Right?
Yeah, right. So they play around with that in this movie way more than I thought. They give him every name under the sun, including like Red Cyclone, which is a nice nod to Red Tornado in the DC books. They even call him Captain Sparkle Fingers, which is a great slam on Marvel's Captain Marvel. But to go back to your original point here, we have two Captain Marvel movies in theaters at the same time, and neither one. Ever calls them Captain Marvel.
That is, you know, I didn't even realize that. Yeah, they don't in Captain Marvel, do they?
Nope.
All right, so let's talk about the movie, though. It honestly, it's the first DC movie, I think, since Man of Steel that I've been excited to go see and take my son to see, because it looks fun. It looks like DC realized maybe they're being a little too gritty, or maybe just this character doesn't lend itself to being so dark and gloomy and gritty. It looks, somebody described it once, and I think for people who haven't read the comics, this is an accurate description. It kind of looks like a superhero version of Big. I think that is an apt description. It just looks like a goofy, fun superhero movie, which DC has really needed.
Well, everything that you said was spot on. This is a goofy, big, colorful superhero movie. It's the most colorful of all the DC movies, which have had a very muted palette all the way through, by design, for better or worse. This one eschews all of that. It's a very boisterous, loud, colorful film. It definitely wears its influences on its sleeve. It's trying to be a superhero version of Big. As a matter of fact, at one point, they have the superhero dancing on a giant keyboard. So they're telling the audience, yes, we are doing that. But not to sidestep too much into a defense of the DC Cinematic Universe, because as you know, I'm sort of a fan of all seven of these movies. But I will say, if you take now, of course, Zack Snyder was hired to sort of be the Kevin Feige of this universe, you know. And so when you look at his movies, Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and half of Justice League until he was removed and Joss Whedon came on, they have definitely a point of view, very grim, gritty, and you know, David Ayer when he was playing with Suicide Squad, I think added a lot more color and a lot more random weirdness to that maybe he didn't get credit for because it was released with the Snyderverse. But if you look at all the rest of those directors, like Patty Jenkins with Wonder Woman, James Wan with Aquaman, and now David Sandberg with Shazam, they don't line up with what Zack Snyder was doing at all. They all have a director's vision, and they all are very different movies. So again, I'm calling for a critical reevaluation of those movies because it seems that when Wonder Woman came out, audiences said, finally, a good DC movie. And then when Aquaman came out, they said, finally, a good DC movie. And then when Shazam came out, they go, finally, a good DC movie. I don't know how many of these they need before people go, oh, look, a good DC movie.
Well, I think that in defense of that point of view, I don't know that people are saying a good DC movie. I think they're saying, finally, a fun DC movie. Nobody's going into the Avengers Endgame going, oh, this is going to be fun, but people were going into Captain Marvel thinking that and went into Thor Ragnarok thinking that. And that was something that Marvel has captured as what is great about superhero movies. And for me, what makes them really entertaining is when it's just somebody, you know, experiencing their power. And you know, that's what makes the first Iron Man so fun, is him, you know, flying around for the first time. But it was the first time on screen that we saw a really great representation of a superhero just enjoying his power. And I'm not saying every movie has to be like that, but I think DC didn't have that until this.
Well, and you make a good point. I mean, obviously, there's moments of levity in Wonder Woman, and Aquaman is pretty tongue-in-cheek almost the entire time. But yes, this is the first all-out comedy from DC, and because of that, it's going to be compared to Guardians of the Galaxy, which is really the first all-out comedy from Marvel. You know, I enjoy serious superhero movies, whether it was Tim Burton's first Batman, which is not an overly funny movie, or, of course, Chris Nolan's Dark Knight. So I didn't mind what DC was doing. However, I will say I had more fun at Shazam than I thought I was going to. I laughed more than I thought I was going to. And because people on Twitter keep wanting me to compare this to Captain Marvel, because I guess the superheroes share that name, I enjoyed it a heck of a lot more than Captain Marvel. And I liked that movie too, but I thought this one was so much more successful from tone and from feeling and from emotion too. You deal a lot with foster families here, and the idea that your adoptive family might actually be better for you than your genetic one. I love seeing stuff like that on screen. And the cast here is all fantastic. You've got the young kid playing Billy Batson. I think his name is Angel Ashton. I'm not familiar with him. I guess he's from a Disney show. He's really great. And then the kid that played Eddie in The Losers Club in the first It movie, he plays a character named Freddie Freeman, who's sort of like his best pal, who tells him everything about superheroes. And he's great as well. If the movie had anything I didn't like about it, it would be the villain, who is really just kind of boring. It's Mark Strong, who, of course, is no stranger to playing villains. I liked him as Lord Blackwood in the Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes movie. I liked him as Sinestro in the DC Comics movie that nobody liked called Green Lantern. But here he plays an evil villain named Dr. Savannah, who's just kind of boring and nobody really cares about him.
Yeah, honestly, I wouldn't be able to tell you that from seeing the trailers, but that doesn't surprise me having seen the trailers. He just looks like the typical scowling bad guy who's only there to serve that purpose. Just, hey, here's a bad guy for the hero to fight. But really, this movie is about the hero getting his power and dealing with his personal life, not so much his battle against evil.
I will say, because a lot of families are going to bring their kids to this, and that's fine. I will say that the director is a horror movie director. He did Lights Out with Teresa Palmer a couple of years ago, which I liked. And he also did Annabelle Creation, which was one of the better Conjuring Universe movies. That was the prequel, not the first one, that was really bad. As a matter of fact, you even get a cameo from the Annabelle doll in the opening scene, so keep an eye out for that. But because of his background, Mark Strong resurrects these demons, basically, and there's some head eating in this movie. There's some head chopping off in the movie. So, and it's all cartoony and it's CGI, but I think for very little kids, they might be a little just disturbed by that. But overall, it's a great family film. It's one of the better DC films. I would rank it in my top three of the DC films.
Wow. All right. Well, when we get back, we'll be talking about another family movie, Pet Sematary. Be back in 5 minutes on The Jonathan Weir Show with Max on Movies here on 98.1.
Jonathan Weir Show.
And we're back with Max on Movies. Max, let's talk about Pet Sematary. I don't know why this movie is being made. I thought that they knocked it out of the park in the 80s. Miko Hughes as the little boy. It was perfect casting for its time, and I don't know how anybody could play that character more chillingly than that little three-year-old boy did at the time. But, you know, hey, let's give it another shot. I mean, it was a huge success, so I guess we just need to go back into his catalog and remake everything.
Well, and that's why we're getting another version of Pet Sematary 30 years after the 1989 version, which was a huge box office success. So big, in fact, that they did a sequel to it with Edward Furlong, which shows you it was the early 90s, which is why that happened. But that's how big of a success that was. And you talked about how they knocked it out of the park. That was one of the few screenplays that was written by Stephen King himself, which is why it was so similar to the book. The only things they kind of glossed over are tough things to handle in an adaptation. Obviously, the depth and feeling of grief and loss is something that's easier conveyed, arguably, with writing than it is in cinema. And also some of the background of how the Pet Sematary works with the ancient Native American burial ground, stuff like that. They kind of glossed over that. But otherwise, it's pitch perfect. I can't think of a better neighbor Judd than
Herman Munster.
Yeah, Herman Munster himself, Fred Gwynn, who nailed that New England accent. He was saying, oh, yo, the whole time. He was just amazing. As
Brown Sow.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. Sometimes dad is, I can't do it. So,
sometimes dad's better.
30 years later, they're remaking it. And the two filmmakers here who got the job, they did a low-budget, really gory movie called Starry Eyes, which was about a young actress who sells out to Satan to become a successful actress, which, of course, is a tale as old as time. And I watched that on some streaming service a couple years ago and thought it was pretty good. And when I heard they were doing Pet Sematary, I was intrigued. And I thought they might ratchet up a bit more of the gore, and they definitely do, for better or worse. But they also said something. They said that they liked Mary Lambert's original movie from 89. And, of course, it was a screenplay by Stephen King himself. So their option was to do something totally different. They wanted to take a page out of Stanley Kubrick, who, of course, his Shining is nothing like that book. And they just wanted to make something bonkers off the wall and play with the audience's expectations. So I knew that going in. I knew things would be different. And they've already spoiled some of those differences in the trailers. For instance, the little boy, Gage, his fate is actually transferred to his older sister. So you have an older person who is going through the – I don't want to say too much more than that if people don't know. But that was an interesting change. Also, they changed the mother's relationship with her sister, Zelda, who, of course, was suffering spinal bifida, otherwise known as nightmare fuel in that first movie.
Yes.
They basically make her much, much younger, and they also have some scenes involving a dumbwaiter that are pretty interesting, but then they don't know what else to do with that, so they abandon that, and that was unfortunate. They also, because of the change with Gage's fate being transferred to his older sister, they have an off-the-wall and bonkers third act that makes very little sense, is completely ill-advised, and makes me wish that I could invent a time machine just so I can go back to the writer's room to tell them not to do this. It is laughable almost to the point of parody, so much so that I can't imagine what would have happened in-universe after the last scene. It is absolutely atrocious, and really, really makes me not recommend this film at all. I'll also say, for all the accolades that we showered upon Fred Gwynn, John Lithgow is arguably a better actor with his entire career. However, he doesn't try to sound like he's been living his whole life in Maine at all, and just doesn't make for a convincing Judd.
Because that was the power of Fred Gwynn as that character. And you know, Fred Gwynn was a great character actor, because remember, he was also in My Cousin Vinny as the judge, and he was great in that too. He just seems so for somebody who's best known for playing a freaking parody of Frankenstein, he was just a really good, authentic-seeming actor, if you needed a guy to kind of play a gentlemanly country person, Fred Gwynne was the guy to go to, and as great as John Lithgow is, I can't see him replicating that.
You know, I'll go back and say there was a black and white show from the 50s called Car 54, Where Are You? And Fred Gwynne was sort of the straight man
right.
in that show. And that was a great comedy that I loved when I was a real little kid. I watched way more of that than Munster, so I love Fred Gwynne. But it's John Lithgow. I mean, the guy is great, right? So I was signed up for it. I was ready for it. And then he just doesn't do anything with the role. So I was really let down by this movie. It's not tense. It's not scary. You kind of know what's going to happen until you don't, and then it gets even worse. So, you know, sometimes the original is better, is what I would say.
All right, let's talk about this Sam Rockwell playing another racist movie.
Yeah, I'm as shocked as you are, but he definitely seems to be entering the let me play a racist mode of his career. And so you've got Sam Rockwell, who, of course, was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for playing the real-life person that Kanye West said didn't care about black people, and that was George W. Bush in Vice, which is now out on Blu-ray and DVD. We might talk about that in a minute. And, of course, he was also playing the racist cop in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I just read that he signed up for a role coming up in the next couple years playing some sort of modern-day white supremacist, so at least he's bringing it into the modern day. But here
yeah.
he plays another real-life racist named C.P. Ellis, who was the head of the Ku Klux Klan down in North Carolina, and there was a local thing that happened with a black school that burned down, and so they wanted to move the students to the white school, and of course he was against this, and it turns out he has to have a two-week community meeting, basically, with Ann Atwater, played by Taraji P. Henson, who is a local black activist. And this feels like one of those feel-good, eat-your-vegetables type movies. Like, look, all people have to do from different sides is talk, and then racism is solved. And I've seen a lot of people who consider themselves woke on Twitter saying these movies are horrible and these movies are going to, you know, it's a green book all over again and you can't solve racism with a movie. But I think what I would like to remind these people, and I can do it right now on your show, is that this really happened. This is a true story.
I'm sorry, I was going to say, yeah, at least this one is accurate. This is based on real-life events. I mean, anybody who studied civil rights knows the name C.T. Ellis.
Yeah, well, and you know, this movie is not attempting to solve racism. It's not attempting to make any giant sweeping. You know, this is not an Oscar bait movie. It's not being released in November. This is a true story about people that, much like something like a Hidden Figures, we should know about these people, and we should know what Ann Atwater did. And if I did have criticisms for the movie, and I do, the only criticism that I have is it focuses arguably a bit too much on C.P. Ellis, and I get why. He has the bigger arc. He starts off going to Klan meetings and leading them. And then by the end of it, he's like, I'm supposed to hate black folk and I don't. And of course that's a bigger arc than Ann Atwater, who just stays the same as, I don't know, a good human being. But it is interesting that after 2 weeks of getting to know each other's families and talking, they became lifelong friends. I mean, she was with him when he died. I mean, they would go around and talk to college campuses for the rest of their lives. I think that is inspiring. And even though some millennials might roll their eyes at a movie like this, I thought it was well acted and a story well told. I will say it's a bit mainstream for my taste, and what I mean by that is it's definitely a movie that a grandmother could watch. You know, it's the more mainstream version of Black Klansman, another amazing true story. But Spike Lee, of course, is an artistic filmmaker and does interesting things that hold my attention. And this one is more of a mainstream version of that story. But I thought I was going to dislike this film. I thought I was going to have a lot of problems with it. You know, as you know, I didn't like Green Book. And I thought this would be that all over again. And it wasn't. I have to say I was pleasantly surprised by Best of Enemies.
All right, and Vice is out on DVD and Blu-ray. Real quick, for people who have not seen Vice, I thought Christian Bale should have got the Oscar for it. He absolutely disappeared into the role of Dick Cheney, and I also love Adam McKay's film style that he's exhibited, not just with this, but with his previous movie, The Big Short. I just love his kind of fictional documentary type of style. Maybe it's because I'm riddled with ADD. I just love all of the crazy cuts and stuff that he does. What was your take on the movie?
Here is my one sentence review of Vice. If you've ever voted for a Republican, don't rent this movie.
All right, Max Boise, catch the show tomorrow night, 9 to 11 on the Big 550 KTRS. His guest will be Sophia Lillis from It, but also from the upcoming Nancy Drew movies. I said movies. I'm sure they'll make more than one, right?
I don't, you know, I thought the Emma Roberts franchise, but no.
Yep, they will. And you can follow him on Twitter, at Max on Movies on Twitter. Max, as always, thanks so much, buddy.
Jonathan Weir Show.
It's the Jonathan Weir Show here on 98.1. I am Rebecca Crockett.
I'm Sam.
Here with Sam because I'm being punished for barely losing a game this week.
This isn't a punishment to me. This is winning.
Well, I'm glad that you're winning. Okay, so we're going to do a question, a fact, and a text.
Yes.
But because I wasn't able to give you a question because I didn't know I was being punished, I'm going to have you text in a question to us. You can ask us anything. Text it in to 22980. In the meantime, Sam, what is your fact?
I've got a couple of facts if we want to give some textures some time. First, which blew my mind because I've heard this everywhere. And I even love the memes. It talks about, first of all, they tell you have to drink 8 glasses of water a day.
Yeah.
And the memes talk about how that's a struggle, but then for some people, you can drink like 6 shots of tequila in 30 seconds and you want more or something. But it turns out that that's a myth. You don't have to drink 8 glasses of water a day.
Well, you don't have to survive, but it's still healthy, right?
Oh, it says that, I mean, if you don't, you will not dehydrate if you drink less than 8 glasses of water a day.
But
I'm sure it's better for you.
But it's good for your like digestive system and your skin. And
yeah, but you don't have to.
No, but you still should.
Well, sure.
Okay.
Okay, and then another fact that really just blew my mind is that Chicago's Field Museum, which has a bunch of like bones and stuff, has 10 colonies of flesh-eating beetles who live and work within the museum, cleaning the bones of the animals that go on display.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm kind of creeped out by that fact.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're getting some questions in on the text line. First one, why do dogs have wet noses? I'm going to tell you it is a scientific fact that dogs have wet noses so that they can give you kisses without using their mouth.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Did you look that up?
No, I just know that.
Some veterinarians back that up.
Ooh, fact, Rebecca and Sam are awesome.
I like that.
Yes,
like
we are, because I have been left to finish the show as a punishment, and here I am.
But we're happy about it. I always thought dogs had wet noses because they were always licking their nose.
No.
And isn't it your dog is sick if their nose isn't wet, or there was something about that?
Maybe if their nose is dry.
The next question's about dogs, too.
Do dogs know they are dogs, or do they believe that they'll eventually grow up to be humans? I think dogs already think that they're humans.
I think it depends on the dog, really. I've had dogs that I definitely know that, they were not humans. They were just dumb dogs. And then I've had other dogs that sat upright in chairs because they saw people do it.
That's weird. Okay. Also, listen, don't ask us questions like, you know, stuff we don't know, like scientific facts. Why don't you just... I mean, I guess I said ask us anything. Oh, somebody on the text line says they've actually been to that museum with the flesh-eating beetles.
Do they have the beetles on display, too? Because I think that'd be kind of cool.
It's kind of creepy.
Okay, here's our colonies. We don't pay them very much, but they work really, really hard.
Oh, here's a good question. Is Jonathan a nice person? He seems like a jerk. Okay, knowing that Jonathan is not listening right now, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. He is one of my favorite people in the entire world, and I would never say that to his face, only behind his back.
Yeah, you got to say the mean things to his face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, he's really...
That's why he seems really like a jerk. Nice. It's all love.
I'm being 100% serious here. He's one of my favorite people. Okay, next question. Can the two of you get your own show? This is great.
Well, I love it. All we have to do is read some texts.
Sam and I did have our own show back in college, and Sam fell asleep in the car in the parking lot and didn't show up for the show. And
that happened.
I found a new co-host.
Or twice. That happened like twice.
You listen to my weekly podcast with Nathan, that is the co-host that Sam got replaced with.
Yep, I'm still salty about it, But here
well,
we
it
are.
It was your fault.
It's amazing the way things line up.
Okay, another question. I don't recall the Beatles. Okay, so no, he did not actually see the Beatles.
Yeah. Do fish think we're as stupid as we think they are?
How are we supposed to know that?
Well, if they're really stupid, then they can't think that we're stupid, right? Also, they're stuck in a bowl, so how smart can they be?
I don't know.
Unless you're talking about the fish in the sea, but then we'll never know.
From the text line, I can't wait to get home tonight and get kisses from my dog. Either can I.
From the text line, I can never tell the difference between Rebecca or Kara's voice.
Yes, we get mistaken for each other a lot. Our voices do anyway. Where does 10 plus 4 equal 2? Don't ask me math questions because I'm not good with math.
I think that's supposed to be a joke, but I don't get it.
I have no idea. Fact, Jonathan is not a jerk. That is a fact. Yeah, okay, I have the... A text
I like
for
how people
you.
Are texting facts and not questions.
Yeah.
But thank you. We appreciate
Here's my favorite text of the night. My dog got into green pixie sticks. My sister was watching him and said he pooped 27 times, even on her clothes and her suitcase. She also broke the spot cleaner trying to clean it and had to clean the rest with her hand.
Ew.
Yeah. And they're glad they weren't there for that. They were actually on their honeymoon. Congratulations.
Another texter says, my dog has terrible breath and I will never kiss him.
Well, I mean, don't kiss him
don't
with an open
those,
mouth.
Don't they have those, like, doggy toothbrush thingies?
They do, but don't kiss your dog on
okay,
the mouth.
Okay, this has been the Jonathan Weir Show.
Okay, happy birthday, Bill. I have horses to feed. And hey, when life's getting you down, look at Square and the chops and say, blah, 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 blah.